Good afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Lynn Nesner, attorney registration 39209. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Ryan Straub. Some of his friends and family are also with us today. I will be starting with the second issue concerning the erroneous denial of the motion for new trial based on newly discovered evidence. Although motions for a new trial are generally disfavored, sometimes justice requires a new trial, which is true here. In this case, the prosecution had an unfair advantage over the defense at trial because the prosecution knew of a source of exculpatory evidence, and the defense did not. And they used that information against the defense. Mr. Straub had no idea that he was a suspect until a full year after the incident. Within a week of the robbery, he provided the police with his alibi, but the police did not arrest him until a full year later. Thus, he had no idea that he should be preserving exculpatory information.
When did he buy the DNA sample?
Within a week.
When was he interviewed by the detective?
It was April 25th or 26th, 2006, and he was arrested in April of 2007.
Well, he left the country shortly after that, didn't he?
He went to Iraq.
But he was interviewed within a week.
Yes.
Asked for a DNA sample.
Yes.
Didn't think he was a suspect then?
Well, they didn't contact him then afterwards for a year. After his arrest, the defense hired an investigator who contacted the airport police about surveillance footage. The airport police told them that all surveillance footage had been destroyed. They did not tell the defense about any other sources of information.
The defense asked for any other sources of information?
I mean, to my knowledge, they contacted the police and asked, you know, if they had any surveillance information, and they were told it had all been destroyed. They didn't have a reason to believe that the police would be withholding anything.
The police have a duty to disclose the existence of the license list?
I would say yes, because it's a potential source of exculpatory information. And as you know, the prosecution is assumed to have the same knowledge as the police, and the police knew about it. And here the prosecution knew about the airport police keeping an index of all the license plates entering their garage.
Is there a discovery request by the defendant for this particular information?
That is not in the record. I would assume that the defense requested all exculpatory information, and this is very exculpatory.
The only discovery request I found was one that asked for fingerprints, tapes, DNA evidence procured by the police. I didn't find anything specific asking for airport surveillance or license index or anything quite like that.
But under Rule 16, I believe they have a mandatory.
Sure, if it's exculpatory.
Exculpatory
yes.
Information.
Yes, if it's exculpatory. But there was a specific request for the license index, as far as you know.
As far as I know.
Now, when the investigator contacted the police or the DIA, and it's not clear to me which she did, is it your position that she specifically said, I want the license plate index or any information that would show that his car was in the parking lot on that day?
All the information I have is based on what's in the motion for new trial.
Well, that's good, because then my question is, there's no affidavit from the investigator that's attached to the new trial motion that describes her investigation prior to the trial, is there?
No, there is not, but the district court could have granted a hearing and then taken evidence from the investigator.
Could have, but if there's no basis for the court to grant the hearing because there's no showing of due diligence, which is what the court found here, is the burden on the defendant to make that showing in the first place?
The defendant put in the motion that they had tried to obtain this information, and based on their arguments at trial, they did try to, there was their understanding that the surveillance footage had been destroyed.
Right, and he said in the motion he was not informed and he was not aware that any other form of information was still in existence. But our question is, did he make an effort to, did he ask about that information? Did the investigator ask about that information? Or let me put it another way, you say in your brief he was misinformed.
Yes.
What's the evidence that he was misinformed, which I understand to be a different meaning than not informed?
Because the defense investigator went to the airport police and asked for surveillance information. Only the police would know that they had this source of tracking this information. And they didn't disclose that, and neither did the prosecution. And the prosecution fully knew throughout trial that there was this license plate index and never disclosed that.
All right, so it was disclosed at trial by investigator Paul.
Yes, in the prosecution's rebuttal case. For the very first time, that's right. When the defense learned of this source of evidence.
What do you say about the fact that the defense counsel did not ask for a continuance, time to go out to the airport to get the index, or the couple hours it would take to track this down? There was no effort to continue the trial to get that information, was there?
No, defense counsel did not ask for a continuance.
So can we take that into account in deciding whether due diligence was exercised by defense counsel?
The nature of this claim isn't a discovery violation claim, although that's part of this picture, but this is about newly discovered evidence. And the fact is the defense didn't have this evidence prior to trial. And they tried to get information from the airport police, and that information wasn't disclosed to them. And therefore, as soon as they received this information, which was at trial, then they then took action and were able to obtain a log that shows his car was at the airport at 2:31. It shows that everything that the defense witnesses said at trial was corroborated.
Let's explore that for a minute. How does the evidence that car was entered the parking garage at 2:31 corroborate defendant's testimony that he went to the airport at 1:30 p.m.?
That is what he originally said. He said he left for the airport to pick up two people.
Well, that's
in his interview with
the police,
detective within a week,
which was entered into evidence at the trial, and his cross-examination.
So he also testified that he believed he got to the airport a little around 2-ish, and in one of the notice of the first notice of alibi, by he said that he arrived at the airport at 2:30. I mean, it's very probable he left for the airport at 1:30 and didn't arrive until 2:30. That was when they entered the parking garage. I don't think that's inconsistent with any of the testimony. In fact, I think it corroborates all of the testimony.
Follow up a little bit on what my colleague's been asking you about. My understanding is some of the most damaging evidence in the case was a ski mask that had the defendant's DNA evidence on it that was found in that location. Now, was that refuted at trial? Did he have any explanation or refutation or anything for that?
It was the defense's theory that essentially he was framed, that the victims had planned this along with potentially a third party, like his roommate, who possessed the same weapon used by the assailant. I think there's a lot of credibility issues with the eyewitnesses, which I discussed in the briefs. They acted very oddly during the incident and were laughing and joking and then waited until the assailant left before they called the police. And there was another source of DNA on the mask that wasn't tested. And so it's not only that he was framed, but that he wasn't at Coyote. He was at the airport. And it's hard to believe that he could have committed a robbery at 1:59 to 2:02 and made it to the airport by 2:31.
Well, actually, some of the evidence he offered in support of his new trial motion showed an average time drive time, whatever you want to call it, of about 31 to 32 minutes, right? And there was evidence that the robbery could have occurred slightly before 2 o'clock. There was the alternative tape that was never explained.
The Denver Pavilion tape, which is what the state relied on in, as to why the motion for new trial should be denied, is sort of a red herring. It doesn't even show a person leaving the pavilions. It shows a person walking by. And the police, the times that the police responded was consistent with the Coyote Ugly footage being correct. And the average time of the affidavits was more like 35 minutes. And the shorter times were for the people that did not, like, have to dispose of the costume and run to a vehicle. So it would have to, in order for the crime to have been committed and him to have done it, he would have had to do it in like 27 minutes. But also, I mean, this evidence supports like his friend's testimony that he was with him. It supports the Mr. Felix's testimony that Mr. Schaub was at the airport and picked him up and was at the baggage claim. It also impeaches the prosecution's case because the prosecution used the fact that he didn't have a vehicle. This was all imaginary to say that the alibi was made up and that that he was lying. And in fact, he had a vehicle. And in fact, the prosecution's investigator provided incorrect information, which the prosecution relied on in closing significantly.
Did the defendant have his registration at the time of trial?
No, he did not. He did not know that his vehicle registration and license plate information would be of consequence because he didn't know about the index. But the prosecution did.
I'm sorry, I didn't. I mean, he may not have had it on his person during the trial, but did he have access to it? I mean, was it in the, I assume it was in the truck glove compartment, or, I mean, was he unable to get it during the trial?
He was not presented during trial. The prosecution asked him about his vehicle registration. It was the last day of trial. And as I said, I don't think the defense realized that it would be of consequence because they didn't know that his vehicle information was important.
Is he in custody on trial?
What? I'm sorry.
Is he in custody at the time of trial? Yeah. Or was he out on bond?
I believe he was on bond until he is.
So you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'd like to reserve the rest for
a moment. Let me ask you a question before you leave.
Stop the clock, then bailiff, if you would.
In your motion, you ask us to remand for a hearing on the new trial motion. You suggested that at the outset. Mm-hmm. What exactly would we be remanding the case for the trial court to do?
To make further findings on the motion for new trial, because the trial court's findings were very conclusory. Oh, no, they could have exercised due diligence, and no, this wouldn't have been likely to produce an acquittal, but the trial, there's no evidence. These findings don't suggest that the trial court was considering, you know, the totality of the evidence. And the trial court also made a finding that the defense had brought this issue up in their case. And that's not true. The defense had never brought up any information about a license plate index or the vehicle because the defense didn't know about it. It was the prosecution who questioned Mr. Straub's friend and Mr. Straub about the vehicle, and then it was the prosecution who elicited this evidence. Thank you.
We'll be happy.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
May it please the court, Wendy Ritz, registration number 17024, representing the people in this case. Excuse me. I guess I'll start with the issue number 2, the motion for new trial, since that's what the defendant focused on. And as we're all aware, such motions are viewed with great disfavor, and this case demonstrates exactly why. As the trial court reasoned, the defendant failed to show due diligence, that the evidence was newly discovered, or that it was likely to produce acquittal in a new trial. In preparing for argument here, I looked back through the record and was struck by something. During the defense cross-examination of one of the detectives in the prosecution's case in chief, this is on April 30th, 2008, page 19, defense counsel says, "But are you aware that at DIA they check every car that pulls into the parking lot?" Prosecutor objects, says, "Your Honor, may I approach?" and says, they haven't raised their alibi defense yet. This is kind of premature. It's not relevant at this point. And it was sort of let go. But that question in itself suggests that it's unclear what anybody knew. And that's partly due to the fact that when this came out at trial in Officer Pollack's testimony, defendant did not suggest there was a discovery violation, did not move for continuance, really made no objection. If he had done that, we would have been able to have the court sort it all out. Who knew what? Who had the defendant now suggest the prosecution withheld this and he was lied to? And I don't think that's clear from this record. I think that is, we just don't know. And if a discovery violation had been raised, the court could have inquired further and figured out what was going on. And if there had been some failure to disclose, they could have had a continuance and explored this information and still admitted it at trial. But none of that happened.
Can I ask you the same question I asked Ms. Nasner? Did the prosecution have a duty to disclose the existence of that list?
Well, that's part of the thing. It's unclear here. It appears that the defendant was requesting surveillance video, and this did not seem to be to anyone at the airport to fall within that. So it appears that no one thought that that's what they were asking for. And I'm not clear that the police would have known at that point in time that this was exculpatory evidence. It's just not clear to me that that duty would have been clear.
Let's assume on a remand hearing, the only issue presented is that the investigator has to come and testify. Did you ask for anything other than surveillance tapes? And if she says, it's a female, I think, she says no, does that show that there's a lack of due diligence? And if she says yes, does that show that the prosecution withheld something? Where do we go from there? Do we need to know that information to get to the right result in this case?
I don't think so, given that none of the other factors are satisfied either. I think certainly it would have been helpful to have hashed this out at trial when everyone's memories were clearer and when the investigator might be able to establish, here's my notes of what I did and that sort of thing. I think it's way too strong to be suggesting that the prosecution purposefully withheld this stuff. When in review of the record, I also noted a part where the prosecutor was cross-examining a witness, one of the defense witnesses. This is April 30th on page 189, and it's talking about the fact that are you aware that every vehicle that...
Mr. Holmes crossing the...
Right. Are you aware that every vehicle that leaves, they are checked? So it appears that the prosecutor wasn't really even certain of what happened to DIA. They seem to be thinking that every car is checked when they leave. The defense counsel had earlier asked a question about every car when they entered is checked. It seems to be a great deal of confusion about what evidence was available and who knew it.
Mr. Pollack certainly knew about it because he testified in the rebuttal case that there is this license index. In fact, he tried to check the license index, but he wasn't able to find the defendant's license plate registered anywhere or registered his name. So he knew about it. Would it have been reasonable for Mr. Pollack prior to trial to contact defense counsel and tell him, I'm looking for your client's license plate because I want to run a check at DIA?
Perhaps. It's unclear because he is a rebuttal witness, and I'm not certain when this was discussed with this witness. He testified earlier as to other issues, was brought back on rebuttal, and then I'm not sure when this all happened, and that's part of the problem. When he was trying to look for the license plate, if this happened recently, if this had happened before.
Well, it was before trial.
So I'm not certain. It would have been helpful to have this, as I said, hashed out earlier. And I think the due diligence in itself is not the only factor, and the other factors also weigh against the defendant. The issue of the timing was litigated at trial. The jurors heard about the different timestamps. The jurors were aware of this. And in fact, the other thing to be able to keep in mind is that this testimony contradicts the defendant, or this evidence contradicts the defendant's own testimony that he arrived at the airport about 2 o'clock.
Well, counsel, this sort of blends in a little bit with one of the other arguments in here, and that is the shifting of the burden a little bit. During the closing statement, the prosecutor gets up and says, in part, what does he, the defendant, have to prove? What does he do? He provides not a vehicle description, not a license plate, nothing. Certainly, if he'd been aware of this information, they wouldn't have been able to have gone up and said, he provides nothing. And it might have made the case closer for the jury had they been told that his car registration went through the airport line at 2:31 p.m. or whatever it is.
It's possible, but viewed in context, it's not clear that that particular piece of evidence in itself would have made a difference if you look at the strength of the prosecution's case in itself. And when viewed in context with all the other evidence relating to the alibi and the fact that the witnesses weren't sure of what time things were, et cetera, I'm not sure that would have made the difference. I mean, the defendant himself was not certain about his car registration, and it would seem that the time that he arrived at the airport was certainly something that might be within his own information, even prior to trial. So it's not as if they were completely without ways to pursue this, and it's just unclear whether he inquired at the airport about this or not, and we just don't know.
So should we send it back for a hearing on that issue? Does it make a difference?
I don't think it would. If you look at the strength of the evidence, and if you look at the fact that the timing was completely litigated, and if you look at the fact that the defendant himself, we get into the whole question of did the officer lie about the car registration. The defendant himself didn't know about his car registration and certainly made no effort to establish during the trial that he had the vehicle. And the question of whether he had a vehicle, that really, the case did not turn on whether he had a vehicle. The fact that he had a vehicle and drove to the airport quickly certainly fit within the evidence presented by the prosecution. I don't think it turns on that factor. He could have done, the prosecution's evidence suggests that he had plenty of time to go do that if he drove quickly and to still arrive at the airport. And so they're not suggesting that he never went to the airport. I don't think that was the state of the evidence at all. Again, as the trial court determined, it's just the defendant was unable really to satisfy any of the factors as to this. And certainly, if had made an effort at trial, we would have known what was going on and did not do that.
Counsel, did I believe that Mr. Straub told an investigator before he left the country for Iraq that he was at the airport at the time of the alleged theft? Am I right about that?
You know, I can't remember. I haven't looked at that part of the record in a while. I do think when you review the record, it appears that his defense at trial was that I was at the airport at the time of the robbery, whereas this suggests I was on my way to the airport at the time of the robbery. So that there does appear to be some friction between this newly discovered evidence and his defense at trial.
If in fact I'm right that he had told the investigator at the time, then it was known from the outset that whether he's en route or whatever, that was his issue. So I'm still perplexed that you're not perplexed. I'm still wondering about your response that there was no duty to exclude this, to disclose this, because it was not exculpatory. I mean, I guess nobody knew if it was exculpatory or not until defendant actually obtained the information and got the time, and now he can argue about whether that helps or hurts. I understand that. But at the time, it may have shown that he was there, or it may have shown that he never showed up, or that he showed up at 4 o'clock, which would have been perhaps certainly material information that there might have been a duty to disclose as well. And so I'm not saying, without getting into whether somebody was deliberately withholding, but just it's your view in light of all that nonetheless the prosecution had no duty to disclose that information.
You know, I'm not certain I would go that far. I have not looked at the record for a while. I don't remember what happened before he left the country and how the investigation went at that point. I don't know who was involved. It also appears that there might be some of a disconnect in that the Denver police at DIA might not be the Denver police investigating the crime. So I'm not certain how that communication worked. And I'm not sure. It seems to me if the prosecutor had heard about it and knew of it, that they probably would have had a duty to disclose it. But from the way the record reads, I'm just not sure who knew what, because it seems to be people are talking about it, but I don't know what they knew.
Yes, another just sort of logistical question, which I meant to ask Ms. Nazer as well. Was there any effort or anything in the record that indicates somebody made an effort to determine whether the timing at DIA was in any way consistent with or synchronized with the timing? It wouldn't be synchronized, but consistent with the timing on the either of the videotapes the prosecution was relying on?
Not that I remember. I don't remember that being an issue in the affidavit submitted by the defense. I'm not certain that anybody checked that against maybe what the time clocks. And we already had the problem with the discrepancies in the time clocks, so it's hard to say.
You go back to your point. You said maybe the prosecution had a duty to disclose. To disclose exactly what? The existence of a license plate index?
Well, that's the question here. It appears that the Officer Pollack appears to have made an effort to find the defendant's registration and for some reason could not.
Because he was going to try to check the license plate index. I think that's what his testimony was. That's how it all came out, right?
Right. And I would assume that if he had been able to do that, he would have then disclosed that information. I guess, did he have to disclose that he was checking it?
He didn't get very far, he said, because he didn't have the license plate. He couldn't find it. Now, the evidence of trial also showed, as I said earlier, that shortly after the event, the defendant was interviewed by a detective. I don't know if it's the same detective. I think it was a different detective. And he told him, I was at the airport about 1:30 on the day of the event. So they did know that he could have claimed an alibi if he became a suspect. So does that create a duty on the part to then say, oh, if you were at the airport, like, give us your license plate so we can check it against this index that they keep out there, or we can check it against the surveillance video because it was only a week ago. Is there a duty on the prosecution at that point?
I have to say, I have not reviewed this law carefully. I think that if the prosecution had some sense this would reveal exculpatory evidence, it's possible. I just don't remember how the investigation played out. And, you know, if this had been, as I said, brought out at trial, they would have had an opportunity to get into this and pursue it further. And but the defendant did not suggest a discovery violation at the time.
Agreed, nonetheless, that if the defendant made a showing that he didn't discover the license plate index because he was, quote, misinformed, close quote, by the defense, then his showing of the need to show due diligence is lowered.
But I'm not certain what he was misinformed of.
I'm not either. But that's the argument that the defendant's making.
It doesn't appear to me that anyone. It appears that the defendant seemed to be misinformed about his own registration. The officer seemed to be misinformed that this registration existed. But it's not clear to me what the prosecution actively misinformed the defendant of. And he, you know, obviously in his interview, he suggested he was traveling to the airport. He had some idea of what his movements were on that day. So the whole idea of being misinformed, I'm just not certain what that even, how that even relates to what happened. I guess I'd briefly turn to the first issue, and I just wanted to note that when I wrote my answer brief, the Santana case had not yet come out. And since then, our Supreme Court has reversed the Court of Appeals Santana, and I was going to go through the analysis and explain why I think that just further demonstrates that the defendant or prosecution did not properly shift the burden of proof, although my time is limited. But I just would like to note that the test set forth in Santana, I think, under that test, what the prosecution was not on the extreme end of the spectrum that resulted in an improper shifting of the burden of proof.
Question, when you argue, what does he have to prove? Show to prove?
You know, I have to say that's the one comment that comes closest, but that's one comment, and I think when it's viewed in context, particularly in response to the argument made by defense counsel in his closing arguments, suggesting that the evidence is uncontroverted that the defendant was here and that essentially suggesting that they had proved their alternate theory of both alternate suspect and alibi. I think it was appropriate response. And, you know, it was one, the what did he have to prove came the closest, but it was one limited comment. And in the context, it was in response to what the defense counsel was arguing what they felt they had proved in their defense case. So I think it was fair comment. I see that my time is up. I'd ask the court to affirm the defendant's conviction. Thank you.
Seconds.
I believe that the prosecution's theory with regards to the defense was not just that he could have committed that crime, it was that they were lying, that the evidence that they put forth wasn't sufficient, that they failed to provide the jury with adequate proof of the alibi, and the jury should not believe Mr. Straub or any of his witnesses. And to that extent, to the extent that he did have a vehicle, which, and he testified truthfully that it was registered to him and his father, and his vehicle was at the airport, I mean, that completely destroys the prosecution's theory. The misinformation that I referred to is the idea that there was no surveillance information left, or no tracking information left.
And wait a second. Who made that representation to whom? Who misinformed whom? Because you do make a strong allegation in this brief that there was misinformation. Who misinformed whom? What does the record show here?
I mean, I would say that it should be remanded back for a hearing as to what happened in the investigation, and all the things that the Attorney General is saying were unclear could be developed. And
so now you're saying maybe he was misinformed. That's really what you're saying, yes?
I think that he was not provided with the evidence, with the fact that there was a license plate index. The police never told him that. And he was able, as soon as he learned of that, to find this information and submit it to the court. And if there's good, I mean, the jury was asking, is there additional evidence? And if this had been provided to them, there's a good chance he wouldn't be in prison. And this was a close case.
Ask what time did you arrive at the airport, and he says, two-ish. That's, I think, the only question I was asking.
A little after. And he told the police, about 1:30, I went to the airport. I'm out of time, but I think this all ties back into the fact that they excluded a source of exculpatory information and then hammered the defense for it. I would ask that this court reverse Mr. Straub's convictions or alternative remand for a hearing. Thank you.
So thank you both for your excellent arguments. The case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course. As I